Blog Talk Radio.
The point is, what is happening here now, and let's, you know, since you're trying to analyze it, is that we have a large segment of the Republican Party that is anti-government. We don't want any more government than we need, but they're anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta that...
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now.
You feel that? You better hold on.
I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom regardless of the cost. Remember, shipmates, freedom is not cheap, but we can afford it. It is tyranny that we cannot afford. All right, you want to be a part of the program today, 646-716-7978. That's 646-716-7978. All right, as you know as well as I do, that as long as there is one liberal on planet friggin' Earth, it is a very, very, very busy news day. Well, today is no exception. We've got lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of very evil people out there that are just desperate to take away your freedom. So let's lift our jib and get this freedom ship underway. All right, we are officially underway and headed out to sea. Bosun mate, ship colors. All right, today we're going to get into the absolute absurd idiocy of the left. I don't know how you could possibly put that much stupid into one human being, but they do. These people are manufactured idiots. They have been manufactured. They have been crafted, handcrafted, molded, formed. And now they're teaching your children, or should I say, indoctrinating your children into manufactured idiots. Now, this first story, this is from Montreal, Canada. Now, what the hell does Montreal, Canada have to do with the United States? Liberalism is liberalism is liberalism is liberalism. It's a worldwide problem. It's not just an American problem. It is a worldwide problem. Europe is just full of manufactured idiots. Canada, beautiful country. I don't know if you've ever been to Canada, but if you ever have, it is absolutely knockout gorgeous. Traveled all the way up to Balakula, beautiful, it'll be a beautiful land. And once you get past about, what, 80, 90 miles above the border of the United States, there's nothing. It's empty. There's hardly a trace of life except for animals. It's a beautiful country. And Canadians, for the most part, are, you know, they're nice people. Okay, fine. There's a lot of nice people in the world. Just because you're nice doesn't mean that you can't be an idiot. Well, liberalism is all over the world, and this is really no exception. This is what liberalism brings, and I'm going to get to it here. This is what liberalism brings, and they do bring it into the United States. And I'm sure there are stories like this that just have not gone reported in the United States. One, because we just simply don't have a responsible media. There's no curiosity whatsoever in our media to go out and actually search for the truth, search for the facts, so they can report exactly what happened and the American people can, well, formulate make a decision, formulate an opinion understand what the government is doing. Understand what the citizens are doing. Understand the news. That's all. That's all we're asking for. What the frig happened? And who was involved? But we can't get that. So I'm sure there's been stories like this in the United States. It's just gone unreported. But a student at McGill University in Montreal, Canada, was forced to issue a formal apology. Now, this student who issued this formal apology, you're a coward. I don't feel sorry for you. I'm sorry, but you get no sympathy from me. Finish and you'll understand why. So this student from Montreal, Canada, McGill University, was forced to issue a formal apology emailing a picture of the king, Barry Satoro, kicking an open door, or kicking open a door. He was kicking a door. All because some students, who these students are, I mean, these are the kinds of students that need to be removed from the college. This is what liberalism brings, tattletales. And Mr. O'Reilly, that's what Nazism brought, was tattletales. They got the German people to turn on themselves and report it to the Gestapo. That's Nazism. Nazism is alive and well in the United States, Mr. O'Reilly. And you're a goddamn history teacher? Maybe there's a reason why you're no longer in the classroom, Mr. O'Reilly. Maybe there is a valid reason why you no longer teach history in a classroom. That was racist. How? I wait till you listen to their frickin' excuse of how they consider this racism. This is liberalism. Doesn't matter if it's in Canada. Doesn't matter if it's in Europe. Doesn't matter if it's in the United States. Liberalism is on planet friggin' Earth, which is the problem. The image was actually shown by Jay Leno last fall. It just simply shows the president kicking a door. And I think that the caption of it was he was upset with fed up with press conferences or something like that. I can't remember, but it was something innocuous and it was just, you know, light. And it was really nothing. It was a no nothing. And of course, liberalism, they have to bring anything that isn't anything, they have to turn it into things. Why? Because they just simply can't win on the issues. They can't beat you with the issues, so they have to beat you with trumped-up, bogus issues that don't even exist, like global warming and war on women, the Koch brothers. We'll get to the Koch brothers today. Unbelievable. The amount of stupidity that you can put into one human being is remarkable, and we have far too many of these people in our country. Most of them are in our goddamned government. So this student had to issue a formal complaint for committing what they call a microaggression. What the hell is microaggression? Where did they come up with these words? And why would you come up with something as stupid as microaggression? It's either aggressive or it's not. Microaggression? That means it's so tiny, insignificantly small that you can't friggin' see it. So what the hell is the point? Aggression is aggression is aggression is aggression. Liberalism is liberalism is liberalism is liberalism. Tyranny is tyranny is tyranny is tyranny. No micro-tyranny? What the hell is that? There's no frickin' thing as micro-tyranny. Or, and I love Mark Levin, but soft tyranny? That's ridiculous. I'm sorry, but that's just absolutely asinine. There's no such thing as soft tyranny. It's either tyrannical or it's not. Don't try to sugarcoat things with me. I hate that. I hate it from my side, and I especially hate it from their side. I'm not even on a side. But you would think people on the right wouldn't come up with these stupid terms. You're not going to impress me by this. I'm not going to follow you because of these stupid terms that you come up with and these names.
and all these labels.
I'm sick of them. It's either freaking tyrannical or it's not. For those not up to date on the PC lexicon, microaggression is now the latest phrase of choice for the leftist radicals seeking to blame racism for the common annoyances suffered by people of all races. No, it's because they just simply can't win on the issue, so they got to come up with something. They got to blame the right for something. I mean, we're already blamed for trying to get everybody in the country free. That's racist. And freeing the slaves must have been racist, too. Because after all, I mean, the Republicans are the ones who freed the slaves. It wasn't the Democrats. The Democrats were the slave owners. Democrats are the ones who formed the KKK. Yeah. They formed it out of a reaction to the Republican Reconstruction Acts. Maybe if people, well, if they were taught history in school, they would know this. But see, they don't teach that in school anymore. It's now the Republicans who were the KKK members. And the segregationists in the South during the 50s and 60s, overwhelmingly Democrats. You don't believe me? Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, I Have a Dream King Jr., was a registered Republican. If Martin Luther King Jr. was a registered Republican, how is it that that so many people in the black community today blame Republicans for all their woes? Oh, because that's right. Johnson passed the Civil Rights Act. That was, well, poo-pooed by the overwhelming vast majority of the Democrats in office, including Al Gore's father. The only reason why that bill was even signed by Johnson wasn't to give people civil rights and equal rights. It was to get votes. Just like what they're doing with this illegal immigration nonsense. Every one of these immigrants that are coming over here, that the left is taking their children that are smuggled in here by the Mexican drug cartels and hand-delivering them to their illegal alien parents, they're not coming over here to be productive citizens. That's not why they're coming over here. They're coming over here to be votes, and that's it. Why these people don't understand that, why somebody in the Mexican community, there's nobody that's intelligent that's coming over here from Mexico? I find that a little difficult to believe. I cannot honestly believe that every person coming over here from Mexico illegally is an idiot. There's a lot of them. I'm sure there are. There's a lot of idiots. I don't care what country you're in. And if there were people on Mars, there'd be a lot of idiots on Mars, a lot of stupid Martians. But I can't for the life of me believe for one second that every single one of these people that are illegally crossing the border are stupid. Somebody should have enough in them to realize that the only reason why they're allowed to come over here is to be a vote. And that's it. I don't know why I'm the only one who sees this. I'm sure there's people in the media that see it, but you think they're going to report it? Oh, come on. Their job isn't to report the truth. Their job is to report what they want the truth to be. So, you know, that way the American people feel more comfortable. You don't want to, you know, get them upset. You know, it might start a riot. So we'll just, you know, sugarcoat it and make it sound, you know, because there's children watching the news and we don't want to upset the little children. How are you going to upset a child by telling them the goddamn truth? I don't know. You're going to get a hell of a lot more respect from that child if you do tell them the truth. Because once that child realizes that everything that you told them was BS, they're going to resent you. Yeah, that's right. When a child realizes, once he gets into a certain age, realizes that they've been lied to their entire life, they're going to resent people who, they're going to resent you, the parent. That's right. You as the parent, they're going to resent you for lying. Don't lie to your children. It's okay to tell your children the truth. You don't have to make anything up. You don't have to lie. And that's how we should win our next election in 2014, simply by telling the truth. That's all we have to do. But you think the Republican Party will? I don't have any faith in this Republican Party. I have not one goddamn ounce of faith. I don't even have hardly any respect for the Republican Party anymore. And that's getting sad, and I'm getting tired of it. I would love to once have a little bit of respect for my government. I used to. But I'm the kind of guy that, you want me to respect you? Well, you're going to have to earn that. Respect and disrespect are both earned. I can't show you any disrespect if you haven't earned it. And I most damn certainly can't show you any respect if you haven't earned it. Republican Party, you want respect from the American people? You need to earn it. And the first goddamn thing you need to do is start respecting your principles, which you don't. Mrs. Boehner, you're telling us that you've never once gone against conservative principles? I'll give you 3 trillion times, Mrs. Boehner, that you went against conservative principles. Those 3 trillion times are the $3 trillion that you allowed this government to spend needlessly, wastefully. On what? What did the American people get from those $3 trillion that you allowed the American allowed the government to spend, Mrs. Boehner? What did the average American get because with all that $3 trillion, huh? Did it put any food on anybody's table that hasn't had any food on any table for several years? Did it give anybody a job that hasn't had a job in several years? How about health care? Did any of that $3 trillion that you spent, Mrs. Boehner, did it give anybody health care? Who's got health care now? That's the question. The question isn't who doesn't have health care. The question is who does. And those that do, who can actually afford it? Anyway, back to where we left off. Minority activists at University of Michigan. See, again, minority. We got to take that friggin' word and throw it out of our goddamn vocabulary. The only minority that we have in this country are the illegal aliens. It should not be color, this and that. And why does it have to be color? I don't know. Everybody talks about being colorblind, but yet they got to segregate everybody. Every time I hear all these people talk about how colorblind they are, that's the biggest frickin' bigot, racist son of a bitch we have in this country. And I'm sick of it. Jesse Jackson, that creep, I can't stand that. He's a con artist. Him and that, what's that other guy's name? Al Sharpton. Both of them, they're pimps. They're pimps. And the people that follow them, they're so-called people that they're fighting for, well, those people are their little whores. It's sad to say, but facts are facts. Jesse Jackson doesn't want the black people to rise up because then he's going to lose his power. He's going to lose his clout. If anybody's keeping black people down, it's Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. And now you have that jack wagon over there on PBS, Smiley. He's trying to get his name, you know, he's trying to be up there. Everybody's trying to be Martin Luther King. Well, you don't have to be Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King was Martin Luther King. You need to be you. And then you got conservatives who try to be like Reagan, or to try to be Reagan. Well, you're not Reagan. You're you. Just be who you are. That's the biggest goddamn problem we have in this country. Nobody wants to be themselves. They always try to be somebody else. For what? I don't want to be anybody else. I don't know what that's like to have that inside you where you desperately have to be like somebody else. I don't want to be anybody else. I'm me. I'm one of a kind and goddamn proud of it. So minority activists at the University of Michigan have insisted that trivial slights such as having your opinion second-guessed in a group assignment are microaggressions. Having your opinion second guessed in a group assignment is microaggression. Huh. Microaggression. I'm supposed to be what? Scared of this word, microaggression? What the frig is microaggression? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. And you know there's people out there that are now going to, now this is going to be the latest buzzword now. Microaggression, microaggression, microaggression. People hear one stupid word and they think they've got to say it over and over and over again to make everybody look. Look at me. I know the latest and greatest buzzwords. I'm intelligent, everybody. Pay attention to me. I just said the latest buzzword. I'm cool. Microaggression. Everybody, pay attention to me. Having your opinion second-guessed in a group assignment are microaggressions that betray the campus as a hostile, hostile, a hostile place for students of color. Hostile place, really? And how is that hostile? Because you disagree with somebody who just said something absolutely stupid? Huh? That's hostile? For calling somebody out a liar? That's hostile. Hmm. Well, then I must be a goddamn maniac. I'm beyond hostile. Oh, my God. I don't know what the hell category I'd fit in. So this picture of Obama kicking a door was racist because of the, in quotations, cultural, historical, and living legacy surrounding people of color, particularly young men being portrayed as violent. Hmm. So if you've got a picture of a black man kicking a door, I've kicked a lot of doors. So if you show a picture of a black man kicking a door, that's racist. Because you're saying that all black men kick doors because they're violent. How do you connect these friggin' dots? I just, honest to goodness, God, I just can't figure it out. I'm not obtuse. I'm not stupid. I just see the reality. This is absurd. This is nonsense. This is BS. This is exactly what we need to fight. You understand that, Mr. Priebus? Mrs. Boehner and Mrs. McConnell and Mrs. McCain and especially Mrs. King. This is what the Tea Party's fighting for, to get rid of this kind of crap. We want freedom for all, not just for one group. Not just for the gray-haired, super-rich Republicans, which are not part of the fucking Tea Party. And no, I'm not going to put a penny in the goddamn cuss jar for that one. I'm sick and tired of this crap. The Tea Party just simply wants our government to be fiscally responsible, follow the Constitution, and stay the hell out of our lives. That's for everybody. The super rich are really not a part of the Tea Party. I've never met any super rich people in any Tea Party I've been to. I don't know where these people are, but I've never met them. I've never seen them. Most people in Tea Party have no idea who these stupid Koch brothers are. They're just Americans. They're giving money. What about George Soros? How come nobody complains about George Soros giving gazillions of dollars to Obama's campaign? How do you think he got all that money? And guess what? None of it was traceable. $5 here, 50, anything under what? Was it 50 bucks on the internet? Didn't have to be reported. You didn't think they had people over there on the computer just typing in numbers? The money just added up. Where do you think that came from? Of course, George Soros. But all the blame goes to the Koch brothers. Most people in the Tea Party have no idea who the Koch brothers are, nor do they care. There's more to conservatism than the Koch brothers. And I'm not making fun of the Koch brothers, and I'm not hacking on them. I'm just simply making a point. The Tea Party is about these are the common folk that are fed up. They simply want accountability in our government. How is that racist? How is that discriminatory? How is that extremist? The only people I see extreme are on the left. And this is the people that we need to fight. Mr. Priebus, you need to be a lot more aggressive. You are right now a micro-aggressive. We need you fully aggressive. Every single Democrat up for office needs to be challenged. Every single Republican that has voted and gone along with the left for whatever reason and broken our conservative principles, they need to be primaried. They need to be challenged. They need to be removed from office. We can no longer afford these people in office. The American people cannot afford it. The country cannot afford it. We don't want it. We don't like it. And we're fed up with it. So this kid had to go out and apologize. Where is this apology? The decision to force, this kid's name is Farnan, to apologize was apparently made by an equity commissioner. Equity commissioner. Now, what the hell is that? A commissioner? Somebody's in charge of making sure everybody's equal? What the hell is an equity commissioner? Okay, that's a person who's got a job because they're friends with somebody and they can't get a job anywhere else. So their friends take care of them by putting them in a nice, cozy little job that does absolutely nothing, promote liberalism. An equity commissioner whose will can only be overturned by a two-thirds majority of the student government. This is the apology that he had to say. Now, this is why I don't feel sorry for this kid. The fact that you got up there and apologized tells me you're a coward. You are a coward. That's right. Well, what is this guy's name? His last name is Farnan. Let's see what his name is. Let me put his name in here. Farnan. That's the only thing they give him. He doesn't have a real name? He doesn't have a first name? What the hell is this? He's just got one name. All right, Farnan. That's it. I thought maybe, you know, he had a first name. Maybe his first name was racist and they didn't want to report it. Well, let's read his little apology. This is going to make you sick. This is why I call this guy a coward. Despite the innocent intentions of influencing my decision to use this particular image, I have come to recognize the negative implications of adding the image within this given context. By using this particular image of President Obama, I unknowingly perpetrated this living legacy and subsequently allowed a medium of Student Society of McGill University communication to become the site of microaggression. For this, I am deeply sorry. Well, you're sorry, but you're a different kind of sorry. You're a sorry excuse. You're a sap, coward, and you're a putz. You deserve anything and everything that they gave you. You little wimp. Stand up and be a friggin' man. You should have had enough in you to fight this. But see, this is the problem. People don't have enough to fight. As soon as somebody labels them a racist or this and that, they've got to give in. Oh, I apologize for whatever I said. I'm deeply sorry. I did not mean to. No, if you're going to say something, you stand by it. You defend it. Otherwise, keep your goddamn mouth shut. You're a coward. I don't feel sorry for you. And the only reason why I talk about this is because this is something that this kind of crap happens in this country. It doesn't have to be exactly this. But it's far too much of this stuff that is happening all across the globe, not just the United States, but all across the globe. We're not fighting just liberalism just in this country. We're fighting liberalism all across the globe. It's a global problem. We can't rest for 1 second. Not 1 second. No matter how sick you are. No matter how tired you are. I was on the air yesterday. I never got 1 ounce of sleep. I was so dead dog tired. And I was still sick. And I'm still a little bit sick. I'm about 97, 98%. I still got 2% of the Clinton flu in me. But I refuse to give up. I refuse to stop fighting. The moment you stop fighting is the moment you lose. By the way, did anybody know that Ronald Reagan was a sexist? Yeah, says it right here. Believe it or not, Ronald Reagan was a sexist. He was a bigot. He was a racist. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, this guy was, the creep of all creeps. This is according to a new textbook used at the University of South Carolina. What's up with South Carolina? There's a little bit more conservatism in South Carolina than this. So the name of this textbook, I can't call it a textbook. Text. It's a crap book. So the name of this crap book is called Introduction to Social Work and Social Welfare. Critical Thinking Perspectives. Critical thinking, first of all, it's not thinking, and what you're saying is not critical. And there is no perspective. I mean, when you pull something out of your ass, that's not a perspective. That's a turd. Turds are not perspectives. So this Introduction to Social Work and Social Welfare, Critical Thinking Perspectives, portrays the 40th president, Ronald Reagan, as a sexist who was insensitive to, here we are with this word again, minorities, and whose main accomplishments were cutting taxes, jacking up defense spending, and slashing social programs. Okay, I don't have a problem with any of that. I don't see how that's racist. Are you trying to say that by cutting some of these social programs, which are needless, that only black people use social programs, so that makes you racist? I mean, is that what they're trying to say? I mean, I don't know. That's the best that I can come up with because I can't figure it out. I can't connect these people's goddamn dots. I have no idea how they go from point A to Deep Space Nine. I have no concept of how they do it. And they don't even know how they do it, and they can't explain it. And then when you probe them and you ask them about their cockamamie explanation, well, then now you're a racist because you question me. What? Because I question your stupidity? And not one word out of your friggin' mouth was true, and I question that? That makes me the racist? I'm the hater? This is what we need to put an end to in this country. I'm sick of it. That's all the Tea Party's after. Just want responsibility in our government. Want responsibility in our citizenry. I don't think responsibility is racism. I mean, that's just me. Accountability and responsibility are not racist. It's not sexist. It's not homophobic. It's not any other kind of obic or this or that or ism. It's common friggin' sense. The book states that conservatives like Ronald Reagan, in quotations now, so this is really what's in the book, take a pessimistic view of human nature. Accountability and responsibility is a pessimistic view of human nature? Huh. Jesus, I must be a racist too. Oh, God, God. I mean, I've got a pessimistic view of human nature. I'm a horrible creature. Oh, my God. I'm afraid now to show myself in public now. God, what a horrible human being I am. I was absolutely shocked and was tempted to throw the book away, said Anna Chapman, 19. They got to put the age in there, like that's important. Why do you reporters do that? For the love of friggin' God. How is this part of the goddamn story? This girl is 19 years old. What difference does her make her friggin' age? I just, God almighty, just get to the goddamn facts, will you please? Will one of these goddamn reporters just write the friggin' facts once? Nobody cares about their stupid age. Get to the goddamn truth once. I know this is small and insignificant, but it's not. It happens too often, too many times, in too many reports. And these aren't reports. I don't know what the hell this stuff is. Why do they teach that in journalism school? How is that important? How does that progress the goddamn story, knowing this woman's age? She's a college student. Don't you think that we would have a kind of a good idea what the hell her friggin' age is? Does it matter if she's 19, 18, 16, 15, 14, 2, 1, 100? Does it make a difference? Stop bogging me down with all this crap. How about some meat? How about a little truth? How about something? And I hate to be picking on this story, but my God. So Anna Chapman, we don't really give a damn how old she is. She's a sophomore majoring in political science. And she was absolutely shocked and was tempted to throw the book away. We don't need to know her age. We just need to know what she did, what she said, what the truth is. She goes on to say, I would even write comments in the actual textbook next to some of the offensive things that I read. I didn't know that this is what I had signed up for. The sexist comments are particularly difficult to square Whipper's record, or the Gipper's record. Well, yeah. We all know that Ronald Reagan was far from a sexist. If I remember correctly, and I haven't even finished reading the story yet, I didn't even get a chance to even look at this one today. But if I remember correctly, and maybe it's just me, maybe I had too much grog this morning, I don't know. But if I remember correctly, wasn't Ronald Reagan the first president to nominate the first woman to the Supreme Court? If I still remember correctly, I'm thinking her name was Sandra Day O'Connor. How is appointing the first woman to the Supreme Court racist or sexist? Well, it would be racist because, well, she was a, you know, white woman. Reagan also appointed the first woman ambassador to the United Nations. Wow. First woman ambassador to the United Nations. Before Susan Rice. And among some 1,400 women Reagan appointed to policymaking positions during the first two terms in office were Secretary of Transportation, Elizabeth Dole. Yeah, that was the wife of Robert Dole. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Margaret Heckler, far before Kat Sebelius. And Secretary of Labor, Andor McLaughlin. So Reagan was a sexist because he appointed all these women to all these positions. The textbook, however, makes no mention of any of these appointments. Why would they? That would go against their narrative. Conservatives are racist, they're homophobic, and they hate women. If you start putting in all the truth and crap like that, I mean, that's just going to – look, it's going to go against the narrative. The students are going to be confused. They won't understand because they watch television. The television tells them how hateful and racist and homophobic and misogynist that the right is. And we all know conservatives are haters. They hate everybody except for the white, gray-haired, rich people. So when you start putting truth in, especially in textbooks, I mean, that's dangerous right there. How dare you start putting truth in textbooks? Textbooks? Ah, come on. We can't be screwing around with all this truth business. And you're going to put it in the textbooks? Bad enough when a reporter actually reports the goddamn truth. Now you want to put it in textbooks? You friggin' hater. You racist, homophobic, bigot bastard. No, we got to get rid of this right. Oh my God, all these conservatives, we got to get rid of these people. Well, this is horrible. This is downright just disgusting. Goddamn conservatives are Koch brothers. All these tea partiers want all this freedom, and they want truth from the government? According to the Ronald Reagan discounted the importance of racism and discrimination and maintained that if they tried, African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans could become just as successful as whites. Well, you know what? There are a lot of black people that have proven that to be absolutely 100% correct. Those black people are the people that didn't buy into this cockamamie notion that just because you're black, you have to be held down and the white man is keeping you down. But they didn't buy into that. They said, uh-uh, I'm not going to stay down at the bottom. I'm going to do everything I can to move my ass up. And they did it. And they did it on their own with no help from Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. Which, if you want to talk about racist, bigoted prejudice, you've got the two biggest racist, prejudiced, bigoted son of a bitches right there, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. If anybody's keeping the so-called black man down, it's them. We've got to get rid of this stupid minority word. We've got to stop worrying about what color everybody is. And start worrying about what color they are on the inside, because their outside is meaningless. You can look the greatest, like the greatest human being that ever graced the earth, but you're a goddamn creep on the inside. And that's what counts. That's what matters. What you look on the outside, that means absolutely nothing. Look at all the people that voted for Barack Obama just simply because he's black. Now, if you vote for somebody just because they're white, that makes you a racist. But if you vote for somebody just because they're black, well, then that means, well, what does that mean? If you vote for anybody because of their stupid skin color, that says more about you than it says about anything else. That makes you a racist. If you're going to vote strictly on the color of the candidate, that makes you the racist. And just because you're white and you vote for a black man doesn't mean that you're not racist. It just means you're an idiot. You weren't paying attention. You're a lazy-minded creep. You flat refuse to take the time and study the candidate on your own. Instead, you turned on CNN, you turned on MSNBC, and you listened to your college professors because they know more than anybody else. Well, again, you know, you've heard me talk about this. The only reason why your college professor is a college professor is because they can't get a job anywhere else. And that's not to say that every college professor out there is in that category. Don't be an idiot and start assuming things that I did not say. Pay attention and focus. I can hear you liberals right now. I can hear you. I can smell you. I know your thought process. I grew up with liberalism. Never once could adopt it. Never once could I accept it. So I do know your mentality. I do know how you think. But the policies that he implemented, which were continued by President George H.W. Bush, increased homelessness. Number of people living in poverty. Oh, yeah. Because of Ronald Reagan, who brought us out of a much, much deeper mess than Obama had to deal with. The largest economic growth, or the longest economic growth in American history, peacetime history. Every year, more growth, more growth, more growth under Ronald Reagan. But yet, Ronald Reagan created more homeless and more poverty. Yeah. Jimmy Carter created more homelessness and poverty. Barack Obama has blown what Jimmy Carter did completely out of the goddamn water. He's blown that completely out of the atmosphere, out of the friggin' universe. And he's still going. Obama's not going to be finished. He's not going to be satisfied until we are now the United States of Detroit. He will not be satisfied until everybody is poor, except for the elite governing class. They're allowed to, well, golf and have a boat and have fun and drink and eat caviar. I hate caviar, by the way. It's nasty. The way it describes conservatives as viewing people as lazy, corrupt, and incapable of true charity, that's the conservatives. This is his book. Conservatives are lazy, corrupt, and incapable of true charity. Wow, wow. Well, we know who the real lazy people are, and those are the Democrats, and those are the people that voted for Barack Obama, not once, but twice. You cannot possibly convince anybody with half a broken wet noodle for a goddamn brain that you were not lazy when you voted for Barack Obama. All those people that voted for him, well, majority of them now are questioning themselves of why they did it. Well, because they were lazy. They didn't take time to actually study the candidate. Excuse me there for a moment. I had to cough. I'm still sick, like I said, but I'm still here. They didn't take the time to research Barack Obama. They also didn't take the time to actually listen to the right, who was warning them of Barack Obama. Everything the right told you about Barack Obama has come true, and it's still coming to true today. Every day, more and more of it is coming true. Everything that we told you about Obamacare has come true, and more is still yet to come true. But yet we're the haters. We're the bigots, because we tell the truth. So the way he describes conservatives as viewing people as lazy, corrupt, and incapable of true charity. True charity? What was Joe Biden? Didn't he give $100 or $1,000? It was something like that. Him and Al Gore, they gave altogether, I think, less than $1,000 to charity. How much did Nancy Pelosi give? Barack Obama, I think he gave a little bit. Well, he had to. He had to, you know, for appearances and all. I'm sure George Soros wrote him a check so he could give it to him. Who knows? Who cares? But overall, liberals do not give to charity. They want you to give to charity. Well, it's not to charity. They just want you to give all your money to the government. But they don't want to give their money to the government. That's why all those rich liberals are moving out of California. They're starting to realize, wait a minute. This was supposed to be to tax the Republicans, not tax me. I'm on the left. I'm the good guy. I get to keep my money. It's those racist Republicans that have to give up their money. Not me. Liberals don't give to charity. Conservatives give to charity. But yeah, because we give to charity, we have to be blamed for not giving anything to charity. Is extremely offensive and beyond not true, granted the fact that conservatives believe that people are capable of succeeding without government interference, quote unquote. That was Ms. Chapman speaking, who is the secretary of the school's college Republicans. Well, she's got to be a racist. I come from a middle-class conservative family with extremely giving parents, so it really hit home for me, Ms. Chapman added. That's right. Conservatives are middle class. True conservatism is not the Koch brothers. Just because they're rich doesn't mean that they can't be conservative. And just because you're conservative does not mean necessarily that you're rich. There are more rich liberals than there are rich conservatives. And that's fact. Don't argue with me. Do you want to call this program and argue that point? I'm just going to hang up on you because you're an idiot, and I don't want to listen to it. I'm in no mood for stupidity today. I've had enough. In the subsection of the text titled Conservatism, the authors list three concepts as characterizing conservatives, as opposing change and prefer tradition due to the fact that they believe change usually produces more negative than positive consequence. Well, it depends on the change. How did this hope and change that you voted for twice with this president, how did that produce more negative or more positive consequences? Think about that. All this hope and change of Obama, did that produce negative or positive consequences? I can't think of one positive consequence that voting for this president brought this country. I can't think of one policy that this president has initiated. I can't think of one executive order that this president has signed with his magic pen that has been positive for the country. Not one. Not one. I mean, we could go on and on. Let's see, what the liberals had high hopes for Bill Clinton. We don't have something to see. I mean, it just goes on and on. We know what is in our schools. We're flat refusing to acknowledge it, and we're flat refusing to stand up and fight for it. Are you parents out there that are not up in arms and in your teacher, in your child's teacher's faces, in the face of these principals? If you're not in their face standing up and fighting for your child, what the hell do you have a child for? Study what your teachers are teaching your kids. Study. Take an interest in your child's education. When your child brings home an assignment, a biology assignment, like we talked about yesterday, finding out who the mother's father was it the bartender? Was it the cab driver? Was it the guy at the club? So, I mean, what does that mean? Now, I'm telling you what that means to me. That means that the only women who get pregnant are sluts. That's it. It's the only women that get pregnant. They're just filthy crack whores. And they'll do anything for crack. Have sex, and they don't care if they get pregnant or not. And they have no idea who the father is. Is that the kind of message you want to send to, I mean, your daughter? I mean, this father was just completely beside himself, and I can't imagine any father that would not be up in arms over that. You don't have to be a father to be up in arms over something like that. This is what they're teaching kids in school? Do your parents, do you even know what they're teaching your kids in school? Have you bothered to ask your child what they learned in school? You see their books, their textbooks. You see their homework. Of course they don't. They're too busy with their little careers. They don't have time for children. Well, there's a lot of parents out there that are up in arms, and they're fed up. They've had enough. But we need more. You need more people to stand up and fight. And if you're that goddamn lazy, I mean, think about it. If you're that lazy to take an interest in your child's education, I mean, that's one of the most important things your child could receive in this country is an education. And you're not going to take an interest in it? You just allow your teachers to teach whatever they want to? That's a problem. It's been going on in this country for far too friggin' long. And it's time you parents stood up and started defending your child. That's your child's life that you're putting in these teachers' hands. Your teachers are manufacturing your child into the idiot status. They're turning your child into idiots. All on your tax dollar. You're paying these teachers to turn your children into idiots, and you don't have a problem with that. Well, I got a problem with you, because these are supposedly going to be our next future leaders. We've already got enough idiots in Washington now. We don't need them any bigger than they already are, and we don't need any more of them. And Reince Priebus, you need to get off your ass. I want challenges. I want primaries. I want you to do your job. And if you can't, you don't have it in you to fight, kid. You know what I mean? You got to get out. Just admit it. Tell the truth. I would respect you, Mr. Priebus, if you just came out and said, I don't have it in me to fight anymore. I need to turn this over to somebody who does have a set of testicles and is not afraid to show them, not afraid to whip them out and slap them across a few faces. I don't have that in me, so I'm going to give up my post, and I'm going to turn the keys over to somebody else, somebody who's not afraid to fight. Well, if they won't do it, this is what we have to do. This is our job. This is our job. We are the voters. We still hold the power. Well, we all know that liberals reject reality. And if you don't, well, then you're a liberal. And I don't want to hear from you. I'm just done. Not even liberals can really argue with that. They know that they refuse to accept the reality. They know it. But that's okay. Because all you can change your reality. Oh, we can change reality. Just have positive thoughts and it'll be the way we want it to be. If everybody had positive energy into Obamacare, it would work. No, it won't work. I can have all the positive energy in the world. But if I jump off the Empire State Building, I'm going to die. I'm going to have blood, guts, and gore splattered all over the goddamn street. I am not going to survive. I don't care how much positive energy I have. I can muster all the positive energy on planet Earth. I still would not survive. So positive energy is important. Yes, don't get me wrong. You do need to have positive energy in anything that you do. If you don't have the right mindset going into any project, I don't care what it is. Doesn't matter what it is, anything that you do. Laying bricks, picking up garbage, being a banker, this, that, anything. Even sitting down writing a letter, if you do not have the proper positive energy, your letter's going to suck. The wall you're going to build with your bricks, it's going to fall down. You're not going to pick up all the garbage. Your bank is going to go under. You need positive energy, yeah, but you also need other things, common sense, logic, facts, experience, knowledge. You need a lot of things. So positive energy alone is not going to get you over the finish line. It's not going to bring you there. You're not going to get to the promised land just with positive energy. You need a whole lot more. So I'm not begrudging positive energy. Positive energy is very important. I know when I go on stage, if I don't have the proper energy that I need, the proper positive energy, my performance, the audience may not be able to pick up on it, but I pick up on it. I pick up on it. But you need, just because you have positive energy doesn't mean that you can go out and portray your character and be believable. You need a hell of a lot more to get on stage than positive energy to develop your character and portray that character believably. And the audience could pick up on it. They can tell if you're in character or not. They can tell if you're just regurgitating your lines. You need positive energy, but you need a lot more than that. But see, that's what liberals see. They only see what's on top. They only see that sweet cream on top and flat refusing to acknowledge all that sour cream underneath. Just what's on top. Well, just positive energy. That'll get us wherever you need to be. Oh, look, a unicorn. Oh. And that's that way with everything. Everything about a liberal is just only thing that's on top. Whatever's on top, that's it. If it looks good, smells good, sounds good, that's what it is. Well, it's got to be good. Well, it looks good. Hope and change. Well, that sounds good. Well, it's got to be good. Hope and change. Hope and change. Look what hope and change brought this country with all this so-called positive energy. Everybody was walking around talking hope and change, hope and change. Obama, Obama, Obama. Women are fainting in the streets. Obama, Obama, hope and change, hope and change. Yeah, what did it give us? Huh? We lost the hope. We got the change. Well, change just for the sake of change isn't, it's counterproductive. It doesn't work. That old phrase, don't fix what isn't broken. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. Well, to the government, no. If it's working, we definitely have to fix it. Because we can't have things operating normally here now. We can't have efficiency. We're the government. And if we have something going efficient, well, then none of our friends are going to make any money. And we can't have that because we need those friends to donate more money to our next election. So we can't have things efficient. And if it's really broken, well, then we have to keep it broken. And we'll give up the appearance, like we're going to hire a new company to come in. Make it look good. We'll boost up the numbers. We're now 3.3 million people enrolled into Obamacare. I'd like to meet these 3.3 million people. Matter of fact, I'd like to meet one person who has signed up for Obamacare, paid their premiums, not getting one subsidy from the government, that is paying it by themselves. They've signed up for Obamacare. They paid their dues. They know who their insurance company is, and they've gone to the doctor and had the insurance company take them. I want one name. One name. Exactly. No one. There are no names. Nobody who's paying for Obamacare out of their own pocket is signed up for Obamacare. Not one. Not one. Do you think we'd have a responsible enough media to really question that? They kind of dance around it a little bit, but they don't really get to the meat. Reporters are cowards. They're afraid to ask these leaders any questions because then they won't ever get another interview. Well, what's the point of having an interview if you don't ask any questions? Well, I get another interview. What, another non-interview? What's the point? Look, if you're afraid to do your job, you shouldn't have your job. Get out of it. Find something else. I don't know what to tell you. But if you're afraid to do your job, you don't deserve your job. Just like in Congress. If you're afraid to do your job, Republicans, you don't deserve your job. All we are asking for, the only thing the Tea Party is asking for, is that the government be fiscally responsible, follow the Constitution, and stay the hell out of our lives. How is that extremism? How is that racism? How is that homophobicism? Misogynism? How that is, any of those isms, I don't know. I can't figure it out for the life of me. Because it isn't true. Because they can't win on the issues, so they have to dream up these so-called discriminatory, accusations. Demonize your opponent. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. They're not about the truth. The liberals are not about truth. They're just about winning the argument. Well, what did you win? I mean, what does that mean to win an argument? To me, winning an argument is when, well, you say A, they say B, and after you're done conversing back and forth, because you said A, you've got the person who said B is now saying A. That's winning an argument. But blaming somebody for being racist and misogynist and homophobic because they tell the truth, I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. I'm at the point now, I am just sick and tired of all my liberal friends. There are times I just can't speak to them. I hate to be that way, but I can't speak to these people anymore. They look at me as racist and hateful because I want our government to be fiscally responsible and follow the Constitution and stay the hell out of my life. Well, I got no room in my life for people like that. I've had enough. And you shouldn't have any room for people like that in your life either. If they're not going to have any room in their life for you, why should you have any room for them? I know it sucks. I know there's a lot of Christians that don't subscribe to that. They don't believe in that. And that's fine. You can believe any way you want to believe. I don't really care. But if you're not going to have room in my life for me, I'll be goddamned if I'm going to be setting a chair for you at my table. I'm not even going to open the door and let you in because I'm tired of it. I've let you people in my life my entire life. I've had to endure liberalism my entire life, and I can't take it anymore. I'm done. But we do know that liberals reject reality. That is proven every single time you listen to a liberal speak, and you're about to hear it here very soon. And nobody says it better than Terrible Ted. Now, if you don't know who Terrible Ted is, he's Ted Nugent, the Nuge. When I was a kid, he was called Terrible Ted. That's what we called him. Whether he called himself Terrible Ted or not, it doesn't really matter. But he's now known as the Nuge. And Ted Nugent was a rocker, and he still is a rocker. I mean, hard rocker. He's actually a very, very talented musician. He's an American. He's exercising his right of freedom of speech. Just exercising his right to be a free American. That's all he's doing. But he's labeled as all this and all that. And now you have one of the, I mean, I never thought you can get dumber than Nancy Pelosi. But Roseanne Barr, you're coming dangerously close. Dangerously close to surpassing Nancy Pelosi as one of the dumbest human beings on planet friggin' Earth. So this is my good friend Ted Nugent, the Nuge. We got three clips here. We're going to go ahead and play the first one, and I want you to listen to it. Listen to what Ted says, and then later on in the next clips, you're going to listen to Roseanne Barr. And if you walk away thinking that Roseanne Barr is an intelligent person, you've got an issue that you need to get resolved effective immediately. And that issue is brain damage. You need medical attention. You need it now. So go ahead. Play cut number one. Go.
No, it's rampant. Bush blew it. Obama's blowing it even better. Clinton blew it. I think politics is there's a military term. It's a three-syllable. I'll give you two of them. Cluster.
Uh-huh,
it is a cluster of politics right now, and that's why the Tea Party is so important. We're saying one simple thing. Be accountable.
That's it. That's the only thing the Tea Party is asking for. It's just to have the government be accountable. Have the citizens be accountable. I would consider racist. I don't see any homophobicism in that. I don't see anything against women in that. So let's go ahead and play cut number two. Go ahead, go.
But the Tea Party is owned by the richest people in the world.
They are.
Come on,
the Tea Party
Koch
are
brothers.
Welders and farmers.
No, they're not.
And
it's
yes,
the Koch brothers.
I hang out with them. I hung
the
with some Tea Parties last week. They're carpenters. They're people that make
exactly.
a minimum
well,
wage.
Well, it's not their fault that they're being lied to and tricked.
You're an
it's
idiot.
Not
shut
the
up.
Tea Party is about
telling
the Constitution
people,
and the Bill of Rights.
Telling rich people what they want to hear is not good for America.
That's
shut
not
up,
what the Tea Party is
you're
about
an idiot.
At all. Not even close. You couldn't be
exactly.
more wrong about that. Tea Party is about working hard, playing hard, simple families going, be accountable. What are you
that's
doing
it.
With our money? Who said you can spend on that crap?
Exactly.
Who said you
tell
can pay
Ted.
People to stay home? Who said you can pay people not to work and not be productive? If you're not productive, you get no money.
Tell them, Ted. Tell them. Roseanne Barr, my God, your voice is just freaking annoying. Jesus Christ. I mean, my God. I mean, just the sound of your voice just gets me irritated. Jesus Christ, you're an idiot. How they could possibly put that much stupid in your body? I don't understand. And you are fat, Roseanne Barr. You are a big woman, which means you have the absolute most stupidity any human being has ever been able to muster and put inside their goddamn body. My God, woman, I mean, listen to yourself speak, for Christ's sakes. That's another problem. Liberals don't listen to themselves talk. Obviously, they don't listen to themselves talk, because if they did, they'd shut the frig up. I mean, this goddamn Roseanne Barr, first of all, I never thought was funny before she had her little show. And, you know, as much as I can't stand Roseanne Barr, never have liked her, never thought she was a funny person. I find her just repulsive to look at. She's ugly. She's hideous. She's got a mean, nasty, ugly heart. I don't care what she looks like on the outside. I'm talking about what she has on the inside. That's an ugly, ugly woman. Forget about that she's fat. Got mole on her face. And she's just hideously, aesthetically ugly. That is irrelevant. What she looks like on the outside. I've met a lot of very aesthetically ugly people, and they're the nicest people you ever met in your life. So that part means absolutely nothing to me. I can care less what you look on the outside. I care what you look like on the inside. And you are one ugly, ugly woman, Roseanne Barr. You are one ugly, ugly woman. Pay attention to what the hell you're talking about. Listen to yourself. Now, go ahead and listen to this one. Let's get this over with before I have to projectile vomit all over my goddamn studio. Go ahead, go.
That sounds like you're blaming the victim. Sounds like you're blaming the poor people. Yeah, I think you're blaming the victim. I think it's just a big fat con, and you work for the richest guys in the world. All you Tea Party spokespeople, you work for the Koch brothers, and they're like billionaires.
I'm just a deer hunter. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, but you're working for the wrong people,
myself.
Brother.
I work for myself. All my buddies work for themselves. They work, and they expect to have something left
exactly.
and not give it to people who didn't earn it. Real simple.
Koch brothers? What the frig are you talking about? You mean the Koch brothers? They spell their name K-O-C-H. Maybe if you went to school and you didn't have a liberal teacher that actually taught you how to friggin' read, you would understand that it's not Koch, that it's Coke. But see, you're stupid. Maybe you're on Coke. Maybe that's it. Maybe all that cocaine you snorted completely melted your brain. I don't know. I don't know if you ever used Coke or not. But you got to be on some kind of drug to be this stupid. Nobody can be this stupid and not be on some kind of narcotic. Are you on a narcotic, or are you just, were you just born the stupidest human being on earth? Roseanne Barr, you are just an ugly, ugly human being. Absolutely pitiful.
Nanny, blaming the victim.
What victim? What the hell are you talking about? Blaming what victim? Victim. How was you blaming somebody on a victim? Because they're living off the government? That makes them a victim? I mean, where did these people get this stuff from? I just don't understand liberalism at all. I don't understand their thought process. I know how they think, and I can anticipate what they're going to do next because I grew up around it. Never once could accept it. Rejected it from the very beginning. Maybe I'm different. Maybe I'm just unique. I don't know. But I've always been able to identify BS when I heard it at a very, very young age. And I remember the day explicitly when I lost all respect for the media. I was 6. I could have possibly been 7. I remember the day explicitly. And I was arguing with my mother. Mom, this guy on the news, he's lying. Oh, no, son. He's a newscaster. The newscasters don't lie. They deliver the news. I said, Mom, no, this guy's lying. No, they're the newscaster. Well, my mom's a Democrat. I love her. But she's got every conservative value that you could possibly ask for. But yet she flat refuses to vote Republican because the television has told her entire goddamn life that Republicans are haters. Only Democrats are good people, and she's been in the school district for too friggin' long. And that's another thing. Because you're a teacher, you have to be a Democrat. You have to be a liberal. You don't rise up the ranks as a teacher if you're conservative. Your job is to indoctrinate these students into little liberals. That's their job. That's why they're teaching in school, because these teachers can't get a job anywhere else. That's why a lot of them are teachers, which goes to say again, just because you're a teacher doesn't mean that you are that way, but there's far too many of them that are. That's the point that I'm making. I'm not making a broad generalization saying that every single teacher is that way. If that's what you heard, you weren't paying attention. Therefore, you need to remain out of the conversation because you're an idiot. You're not paying attention. You're not listening. You're not focused. So shut up. All right, we got to get the hell out off this because I can't. I just can't. Roseanne Barr just makes me sick to my stomach just thinking about her. I mean, how people could be that stupid and then be proud of themselves and go out in public and show their fat faces, knowing that everybody who's looking at you knows that you're an idiot. Aren't you ashamed? Aren't you at least a little bit ashamed of your stupidity, Mrs. Roseanne Barr? Aren't any of you liberals ashamed of your stupidity? What's the matter with you? All right, we are way, way, way past. I didn't think that. I just looked at the time here. We got 40 minutes left. 39 minutes, actually. So we better open up our treasure chest here and see what the hell we got today. Oh, my God, in sweet blue heaven, more. Oh, God, I can't take it anymore. Charles Barkley, which I'm not a fan. Okay, fine. He was a good basketball player. I'm not a basketball fan. I just basketball is boring to me. I love sports, but basketball, I'm just not a basketball fan. I like playing it. It's fun to have a pickup game and your driveway, maybe at the gym or this and that. But watching it, I just can't. And Charles Barkley, just a loud mouth. He's just a loud mouth. He's another jerk. But he's got the right to speak. It doesn't bother him to get out there and speak. That's the American way, man. You don't have to like what somebody says. I can't stand anything that Roseanne Barr says. But I'm not out trying to stop her from saying it. I'm just trying to get her to start speaking the truth. I'm not a big Charles Barkley fan. I think he's just obnoxious. And everybody who's white is a goddamn racist to him. Well, you know what? It's people like that tells me that anybody who just blames white people for being racist, Those are the people that have never really experienced real racism. Because if you experience real racism, you wouldn't be making broad generalizations that everybody's a racist. You'd be able to pick and choose a little better on who the real racist is, Mr. Barkley. So we'll get into that stupid interview with the president. Signing up for Obamacare. Oh, just part of growing up. No, that's not part of growing up. And it should never be part of growing up. Because if that's going to be the new part of growing up, we've got a lot of problems. More problems than we ever thought we would ever have in this country. Government adds 1,500 new pages to the Federal Register. Thanks to Obama's magical pen. Hopefully we'll get into that. We may not be able to get into most of this stuff today, but we'll get into the rest of it tomorrow because all this stuff in here is pretty important. And Donna Brazile, good God, this woman just, again, dumber than a box of broken left-handed hammers. Jesus God Almighty, if you don't know who she is, she used to be on, I think she comes on PBS every once in a while, but she's like ABC, now she comes on CNN. She's another, just a fat, ugly liberal with just a stupid heart. They have no idea how stupid they are. They have no idea how hateful and discriminating they really are. And there is a fine line between actual love and hate. You can convince yourself that you love something so much that you actually hate. And that's what the left does. They've got themselves so convinced that they're so lovable and so caring and so this and so that, that anybody that says anything, they hate them. And they label them as the haters. Well, how can you label me as a hater when you hate me? I don't hate you. I just think you're an idiot. I mean, how can they hate me, but I be the hater? I mean, I can't, again, this whole connecting the dots thing, I can't do it. Food stamp use among troops skyrockets during the Obama administration. Well, that is right there. If you got your goddamn military on food stamps, we got some issues. We got some problems. Why anybody in the military is on food stamps just... When I was in the military, I never heard of that. There were some poor people. I mean, look, lower-ranked guys, and they got wives, and they got kids. Kids are expensive. You don't make that much money. Even though you got on-base housing, but you still don't make that much money. They still got bills. They still got lives. Why our military is on food stamps is just, it's sickening. Hopefully we'll get into this Hillary is a real war on women. I got 34 minutes to get through all this. We're going to give it a try. Let's see how much we can do. But you know how I am, man. I mean, you start talking about a liberal, and it's, my God, you got a lifetime of conversation, and you can't shut up about them. The FAA. The Federal Aviation Administration is now looking for air traffic controllers. No experience necessary. Gee, that makes me want to go out on a plane ride now. No experience necessary. Don't worry about it. They got places where there's no radar and they need to have air traffic controllers. Well, you know what? Yeah, it is very important that we do have air traffic controllers, but we need to have responsible air traffic controllers, people that are well-trained. I mean, I'm just saying. All right, let's get into this Barkley interview. This was done, I think, yesterday or the day before. I think it was on Sunday with TNT. And this is Obama. Once people have health care, they're not going to call it Obamacare because they don't want to give me the credit. He actually said that, and I'm going to play this. I didn't make this up. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Obama. We call it Obamacare because we are giving you the credit. You understand? That's why we're calling it Obamacare. We do give you all the credit. So let's go ahead and play this. Go ahead. Barkley, cut number one, go.
What do you think of the term Obamacare? I like it. I don't mind. I tell you, five years from now, when everybody's saying, man, I'm sure glad we got health care, there are going to be a whole bunch of people who don't call it Obamacare anymore because they don't want me to get the credit. But
excuse me, Mr. Obama. But in 5 years, when everybody's got health care, nobody has health care because of Obamacare now. How are you going to get more everybody in health care in 5 years? What about that 50 million people that were uninsured? How many of those now have health care, Mr. Obama? And why is it going to take 5 years? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Well, in 5 years, when everybody's got health care. Well, wasn't this health care supposed to bring people health care like right away? Isn't that what they said? That immediately people were going to be able to sign up for health care. Immediately on October 1, the market's going to be open and everybody can get health care. Wasn't that what they said? But now it's 5 years, so what's the next speech going to be? 10 years from now, everybody's going to have health care? Well, if we don't get rid of Obamacare, nobody's going to be having health care, which there are far more than 50 million people now that do not have health care, including of the 3.3 million people that you claim have signed up for this health care, which they haven't. Looking on the website 15 times because the goddamn website keeps cutting you off and you keep going back on, every time you click on there, that does not mean that you're signing up, but that's how they take it. Well, they got all these clicks. 3 million, let's just say, for example, 3.3 million people, these are just people that clicked on once or even twice or multiple times. Okay, 3.3 million is a far cry from 50. That 3.3 million of all the people that clicked on the website should be much higher. People never wanted it in the first place, Mr. Obama. You went against their wishes. You and your little pen. Now, wait till you hear this one. We all know that the incredible expense that Obamacare has brought on to these people. We do know that if you have pre-existing conditions, you're not going to get health care. And if you do get it, it's going to be so expensive you can't afford it. We know that. That's been proven time after time after time after time again. We know that. We do know that Obamacare is very expensive, including the youngins. Care is much more expensive than the health care that we had before. And you get less care. But you get that free abortion, which is the most important part of Obamacare. So go ahead and play this. Get ready to blast off into Deep Space Nine. Go ahead. Barkley, cut number two. Go.
When you were young, you know, you had to actually have an injury before something hurts. We'd like to encourage more young people to sign up, partly because since they're healthier, their premiums are actually generally going to be fairly cheap. They can find good options for less than their cable bill, less than their cell phone bill. And it's just part of growing up. Is making sure that you're taking care of your...
Cheaper than their cable bill? He didn't just say that, did he? Cheaper than their cell phone bill? Cheaper than their cable bill? Cheaper than their cell phone bill? Well, how expensive are these cell phone bills and cable bills? Has this idiot ever been on his own stupid website? Who the hell does this guy think he is? Well, of course, you know Barkley. He's not going to challenge him. He's slobbering all over the president, which is just disgusting on its own right. But has this moron ever read his own, or ever even looked at his own goddamn website? Has he? How is it going to be cheaper than your cell phone bill? Cheaper than your cable bill. You don't believe me? I'll tell you what you do. You go on healthcare.gov and shop for it on your own. You don't have to buy anything. Just go on there and shop for it. You tell me if that's going to be cheaper than your cable bill or your phone bill. But now we're just supposed to believe it because the president said, see, this is what they do. This is propaganda. Again, Mr. O'Reilly, this is what the Nazis did. Okay? They knew the reality, but they told the people something completely different than the reality. And it's unfortunate, but there are people out there that will believe what you tell them, and you know that. See, Mr. O'Reilly, that was what Nazis did with propaganda. So for your claim, Mr. O'Reilly, and I hate to keep picking on you, but I'm tired of people like you. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it wherever it goes. When there's a fight to be fought, we got to fight it and fight it immediately. It doesn't matter where the fight is coming from. Even if that fight is coming from within you, you've got to discipline yourself. You've got to fight yourself and tell yourself you're an idiot. Shut up. Mr. O'Reilly, Nazism is alive and well in the United States. Just because you're a Nazi means tyranny. Just so people don't set themselves on fire, Nazism means tyranny. Tyranny is alive and well in the United States. I'm sorry if you can't see it. I'm sorry if you don't believe it. But if you can't see it and you don't believe it, you need to not talk about it. That's what you need to do, Mr. O'Reilly. The Nazis were masters, masters at propaganda. This idiot president that we have, they're pretty good at propaganda too. However, he doesn't have the entire country, and that's why we have this country split. And if you, I don't know if you heard about New York, they want to split now. Everybody wants to split. We've got two countries in this country. We've got country on the left and country on the right. There is a war going on in this country. It is a war. Any way you want to slice it, dice it, roll it up and smoke it, there is a war in this country. War of ideology, war of this, whatever you want to call it. And if you can't recognize the war, again, you got to stay out of the conversation. I'm sick and tired of people being involved in conversations that they have no idea what the hell the conversation is over. Like Dingbat over there, Roseanne Barr. Well, the Koch brothers, have nothing to do with the Tea Party. What the hell? Where do these people get this from? And they're not the Koch, the Koch. See, she was taught by a liberal. She was taught to read by a liberal. That's why she can't read. So she calls them the Koch brothers. She has no idea who the Koch brothers are. But she read on some kind of talking point memo that was given to her before she came on the show. And I can't remember what show that they were on. There was Ted Nugent, and there was somebody else involved in there too. And I can't remember what show it was on, but it doesn't matter. But you know she was handed out some kind of a talking point memo. And she read the word K-O-C-H, brothers. But she has no idea who they are, so she's mispronouncing them because the woman just is an idiot. God almighty. Cheaper than your cable bill. Cheaper than your cell phone bill. And in 5 years, when everybody has health care, they're not going to call it Obamacare anymore because they don't want to give me the credit. Well, that's exactly why we are calling it Obamacare, Mr. Obama, because we are giving you all the credit. Government adds 1,516 pages to the Federal Registry. Last week, 1,500 new pages and 56 additional final regulations were published in the Federal Registry. That is equivalent to a new regulation added every 3 hours. In other words, that's a new right being taken away from you every 3 hours. That's what that boils down to. Lord. Why do we need this much? Why do we need this much regulations? Freedom shouldn't have any regulations. We have the right to keep and bear arms, but we have so many regulations on it, it's impossible to keep and bear that arm. You should not have to register your guns to the government, period. The Constitution is pretty clear. Now, I know it by heart, but I'm going to read it just to make damn sure that I don't miss anything, and I want you to pay attention to this. You tell me if any state in this union, this country, the United States of America, you tell me if any state has the right to force you to register your firearm. You tell me. This is coming directly from the Constitution. The Constitution trumps all other laws. Let me say that again. The Constitution of the United States of America trumps all other laws, federal, state, or local, period. Conversation just ended. So all you judges and all you law enforcement and all you politician creeps, you need to pay attention. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That means, militia means people. In order to preserve a free state, which means what we have right now, we have a tyranny. If there's ever a call, ever a cry for the Second Amendment, now is the time. In order to preserve that free state, now is the time. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, which I cannot call the United States of America a free state. I can't do that anymore. Maybe you can, I don't know, but I can't do it anymore, and I won't. I can't. I'm going to continue to consider myself free, and I'm going to act free, regardless of how many regulations these knuckleheads come up with. I'm not afraid of that stupid pen of Obama's. I'll shove that pen up his ass. I'm sick of it. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Does not mean shall be infringed. Shall not. N-O-T. Not. Kind of like the amount of intelligence that you people have on the left. Not. But do we have a responsible enough government that could see that? No. Do we have a responsible enough Supreme Court? No, we don't. Do we have anybody in any part of government in any state that sees this? No, because if we did, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. We wouldn't. This would not be a topic. You should not have to register your firearms. Criminals don't, and the criminals are the ones who steal the guns. The overwhelming vast majority of all gun crimes are done by stolen guns, black market guns, not the registered guns. And more people are killed by hands than guns every year. More people are killed by hammers than guns every year. Do we have to register our hands? Do we have to register our hammers? And these numbers that I gave you, that's not hyperbole. Let me see if I can find the actual number. I know I've got it somewhere. I know I've got to have it somewhere. Let me find it. Just take me a quick second. Doop-de-doop-de-doo. The stupid system would goddamn work. I hate computers that take all day to turn to another page. God, I have no patience for that crap. Unbelievable. Come on, come on, come on. Here it is right here. Number of homicides committed with the hand, 678. Number of homicides committed by a hammer, 518. This was last year. Number of homicides committed with a knife, 1,589. Outstanding. Now, can anybody guess how many people were killed by the gun? K-47? This is the AK-47. You know that evil gun. And people like Ted Nugent love to just go around and start shooting people? Because that's what the right is all about. That's what conservatives are all about. It's just killing people because they hate people. 322. Unfriggin' believable. Absolutely just unbelievable. Not to mention that for several decades, if not a whole century, the handgun is used to commit suicide. Anywhere from 7 to 10% more every year than murder. More people kill themselves with a gun than kill other people with a gun. And personally, hey, if you want to kill yourself, that's your business. If you have the right to kill your baby because you were incompetent and had no idea, you don't know if it was the cab driver or if it was the bartender or if it was just the guy at the club that knocked you up. And now you've got Obamacare, so you can just go in and get your vagina scraped for free. It's part of the passage of becoming a woman, to get your first abortion. 1.6 million abortions every year. And they're going to sit here and talk about 322 deaths with a gun? How about 1.6 million deaths every year by abortion? How about that, Roseanne Barr? How about that stat, you goddamned idiot? God, that woman, these people are just creeps. I just, God almighty. They have the right to speak. But you also have the right to not listen to them. You have the right to listen to the truth. You have the right to go out and find the truth out for yourself. That's what you have the right to do. You don't have to listen to these people. You have the right to think for yourself. You have the right to act for yourself. You have the right to speak for yourself. What you don't have the right to do is allow somebody to think for you, to speak for you, to act for you. Yeah, I guess in a sense you do have that right, but you shouldn't. That does not make you free. If somebody else is thinking for you, speaking for you, and acting for you, you're not free. What the hell's the point of you living? If somebody else is going to do all your living for you, what the hell's the point of you living? If you want to kill yourself, you should have the right to kill yourself. But because you botch it, now you get thrown in jail because you tried to kill yourself, kill themselves? I don't know. I have no idea why people do it. I'm sure there's probably every person who kills themselves has their own reasons. Anyway, moving on. We've got just a few more minutes here. I'm moving. We're going to do my best to get through all this. This is Donna Brazile. Now, again, she's a CNN and ABC contributor. I think I used to see her on PBS. She's always been obnoxious. She's always just been just a talking head for the left. Before she goes on television, she's given a memo with all the talking points that she needs to say. And she's a good little soldier. She'll say only what she's told to say. But then when she gets an opportunity to think and speak for herself, this is what comes out. So another tweet, which I'm sick of tweets. Good God almighty with the tweets. Do people just sit there who use Twitter? They just sit there and just wait for somebody to type in, yes, I'm in the bathroom. Yes, I'm wiping. Yes, I'm eating dinner. Yes, I'm doing this. I mean, do you not have a life of your own? You got to sit there and wait and find out what Kim Kardashian is doing? What is Kim Kardashian doing right now? I don't know. She hasn't sent a tweet. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, maybe you could pick up a book and read, or maybe you can go out and look for a job. Or maybe you can just shut up. So this is Donna Brazile. She tweets, at Barack Obama. So I guess she's sending Barack Obama a tweet. I guess is how it works. I'm not a Twitter. I don't really know how Twitter works. I think it's just ridiculous. It's a waste of friggin' time. But this is her little tweet. Enjoy President's Day with Congress on recess. This is Action Day. Let's move America forward. Let me read that again. See if you got this. Enjoy President's Day, which was yesterday. I didn't talk about it yesterday. I didn't celebrate it because I'm fed up with presidents now. We haven't had a decent president in I don't know how long. So I really was in no mood to celebrate their friggin' day. I don't care if it's an American holiday or not. But when we start getting responsible presidents in office, then I'll start giving them recognition and celebrating them. I've had enough. I'm sick of it. I want responsible leadership in our government. I want responsible citizenry in our country. It starts with us. If we allow our leaders to be irresponsible, that makes us irresponsible. We got no one to blame but ourselves. Enjoy President's Day. With Congress on recess, this is Action Day. Let's move America forward. Has this bimbo ever read the goddamn Constitution? I'm just curious. Have you, Miss Brazil? Huh, sweetie? Have you read the Constitution? Do you understand that Congress is the only people that make laws? Not the EPA, not the president, not the Supreme Court. Unlike that hunchback, what the hell's her name, Sotomayor? Whatever the hell her stupid name is. Oh, judges, yeah, we're the ones who really make policy. It's not that Congress. It's not the president and his pen. It's us, the judges. I don't think that Sotomayor read the Constitution either, but yet she's a Supreme Court justice, for Christ's sakes. Let's move America forward. This is Action Day. So what she's saying is go out there, Mr. President, pull out your pen and start making executive orders. Congress isn't in session, so you can do what you want. I mean, does she even understand what the hell she said? Does she understand the Constitution? We already know, and I think it's apparent that she's never read it. And if she has, she just looked at a couple of words, and that's been about it. We already know the president is not an expert on the Constitution. We know that he was passed only because of the fact that he was a foreign exchange student and the color of his skin. That we do know. We do know that the fact that this president is not a legitimate constitutional scholar. He was not a professor of the Constitution. He was a guest speaker that rarely showed up. He had one day in court. The judge chastised him to the point not even Acorn would allow him back into the courtroom. So they fired him from the courtroom and said, you know what? You need to go organize communities, which you don't have to really do anything, but just blame Whitey for everything. Those people that are down, keep them down. Take a look at Chicago. That's the community that this president organized. Murder capital of the goddamn country. Is that something to be proud of? Is that something you would consider a success? Unbelievable. All right, we got a couple of minutes here. Let's see if we can get into this. This is Kathleen Willey, I guess, is how you pronounce her name, W-I-L-L-E-Y, Wiley Willey. Kathleen Willey. I kind of remember a little bit about this. There were so many women that came out when Clinton was running for president. So many women came out to being harassed. I mean, you couldn't keep up with them all. There was a lot of these women that were silenced by the Clinton team. Hillary Clinton played, as far as I remember, she played a very huge role in silencing those women. See, because her husband's career was her career. Her husband had to succeed in order for Hillary to succeed. Because Hillary can't get there on her own. Hillary Clinton is incompetent. She's not as intelligent as the media wants you to desperately believe. She's not that smart. And if you look at the evidence, what has she done? What is her accomplishments? Can you give me anything that this woman did as Secretary of State? I can't. Any kind of accomplishment, any kind of anything, any kind of success? Well, let's see, Iran's got nuclear weapons, Syria blew up, Benghazi. We all know what happened with that. I mean, what more evidence do we need? She had one job as the so-called first lady, and that was to overhaul health care. Not even their own party wanted it. She was given one task and botched it to the point she was not allowed to play in any more reindeer games. She was specifically told, Hillary, you need to go back to your little tea parties. The professionals are going to take over. You have no business being in this business. Kept on the sidelines. And she was kept there deliberately because the woman is incompetent. And I think Bill knows a woman's incompetent. Just because she has a law degree makes her intelligent? I know a lot of women that have law degrees. One of them is a really good friend of mine. She is much more intelligent than Hillary Clinton could possibly ever be. But see, people can't get that out of their mind because the television has told you so many times how great and wonderful and intelligent Hillary Clinton is. When you hear the truth and you see the truth, well, you reject it. Well, but the television said that she was smart, but they said, yeah, but where's the evidence to prove that this woman is intelligent? 5 minutes. Let me see if I can finish this story. Come on. Kathleen Willey, the former volunteer aide to Bill Clinton, who says she was sexually harassed by the president in the 1990s, is now sounding the alarm about the potential danger of Hillary Clinton becoming president. Well, if you don't know any of the dangers of Hillary Clinton becoming president, you should not vote. You can vote, you have the right, but you shouldn't. You should take that responsibility and hand it over to somebody else, somebody who is responsible, because you are obviously not. Hillary Clinton is the war on women, and that's what needs to be exposed here. That was Kathleen Willey, who said that Sunday night on Aaron Klein's WABC radio show. If you don't know who Aaron Klein is, he has an investigative radio program. And it's actually pretty good. I think he's still stationed out of Tel Aviv. But there's some pretty good stuff that comes on there. I like investigative reporting. You don't get a lot of it very often, but I do appreciate it. I do like it. And we do need it. And we need a lot more of it. So she goes on to say, the point is what this woman is capable of doing to the other women while she's running a campaign basically on women's issues. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, Hillary Clinton, period, doesn't make any sense. Liberalism doesn't make any sense. She single-handedly orchestrated every one of the investigations of all these women. See? I never even got a chance to read this. I remember what this was going on in the 90s. They're the people reminding us of how sordid all of this is. Willie continued to rail against both Bill and Hillary Clinton, saying they take up all the oxygen in the room and everybody is depressed. Well, yeah. The first time I seen them on television, they didn't even speak. It was just a picture of them. My first thought, Bill looked like an idiot and Hillary looked like a bitch. First thought. I can't deny it. I can't lie about it. Those were my first thoughts. I never thought that Bill Clinton would ever become president. And then to win twice? I never understood where people think that this Bill Clinton has all this charisma. And Hillary Clinton is so great and wonderful. I don't get it. I don't see it. They need to just go away because they're forcing themselves on us in the way I feel. Just pack your bags. You've had your 15 minutes. Stop forcing us to have to look at this stuff again. We're sick of it. Quote, unquote. Well, good job for you, Miss Willie. However, again, it's kind of hard for me to feel sorry for this Willie. First of all, Miss Willie, the fact that you were working as an aide to Bill Clinton says that you didn't do your homework before you got the job. You're a Democrat. You're a liberal. Right there, anything that happens to you after that, you've got no one to blame but yourself. If you don't have enough in you to reject what is bad, to even know what is bad, to acknowledge what is bad, what is wrong. I can't feel sorry for you. I really, really can't. And we are running dangerously close to running out of time, and we've got to turn this ship around and head back into port. Otherwise, we're going to be lost at sea. Thanks a lot for listening today. I know you had to put up with me. Talk, and I never held up. But we did manage to get through a lot today. We're going to finish what we didn't get through tomorrow. So we'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Goodbye, everybody.